Oh,
Very good. Thank you so much.
We'll mute, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a quorum. Okay, I'd like to start this meeting, Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen. It's 17, special meeting and budget workshop number 3, Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, Town Hall 617. First, I'd like to consider an act on the accounts payable.
So moved.
I'll second the approval of the accounts payable as presented.
And then, is there any discussion? Questions?
I have one.
Yes.
On page 15, it's under our the town engineer line item. And I noticed the second line down is he has been working on town hall expansion. So could you tell me what work is being done on the town hall expansion?
For $426. Professional administrative.
You can't answer that question. I haven't directed him to do anything with regard to the town hall expansion.
Okay, so maybe
looks like it might be in a probably in a mislabeled category.
We have Joe.
Maybe for the next meeting, could you
yeah
track that down?
Sure.
That was my only question.
Good question.
Thanks.
What's up with the sidewalk? Preliminary design, is that the one that goes to the high school?
What yes. page are you on?
15, still
same,
on 15,
same page,
bottom yes. of the page.
Yes. That's accurate.
You know, I did have one more question. Sorry, I didn't know. The next, on the same page, the second to last item under Jacobson is Laurel Wood Lane subdivision review and inspection. Where is Laurel Wood Lane?
That is in Vernon.
Oh.
And that actually, we collect money and put that in escrow from the developer. So although we have to pay the bill on behalf of Bolton Lakes Water Pollution Control Authority, it shows up in our accounts payable report.
Because the authority accounts run through us, so they'll show up on here.
So why is it under the engineers?
Because he did the work for Bolton Lakes. And we pay the bills. We collect the revenues and we pay the bills for Bolton Lakes. So the way that it's set up is that Bolton Lakes itself does not have employees. Okay. And the town of Vernon does collection and billing. And we do the finances and payment.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So something like that. We would bill the developer, they in turn pay us. Yeah. But we have to pay him through the town.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. So you'll see those periodically. Mm-hmm. That's how it happens.
Hi. It was easy to miss. Sorry. Well, we haven't closed the AP meeting yet. Yeah. I didn't have very many questions.
We're in the discussion phase.
There's a question on page 19 and it's our future answer, not for now. We have a fire department cell phone, and there's only one. I presume it's for the chief?
Yes.
And he's the only one that we use.
Yes.
Thank you.
Are we good to go?
Well, I think so. Are we good to, do you have a question over there, Amanda? Sorry.
I did, but they're not put up on my computer.
So. You can always
have there's a packet floating around there. Oh, you got it. Okay.
Oh, did everybody else go?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm having bad case of tinnitus, so I can't hear hardly anything.
Exhale.
page four, there was a $6,000, and I apologize if these are already asked. Back wall shelving, is that for the annex?
No, the back wall shelving, I believe in this case, if you look, it says historic document. That is in the town clerk's vault, and that was actually paid for by a grant.
Oh, awesome.
So although we have to, you know, pay for it, we receive grant monies for it under the historic document preservation grant.
And then I had some questions around what MAC Charities does with their money, but that might come up under Carrie's part later, so I just saw that we're paying for our quarterly budget right now, but I think that was it for me.
Is that it? Okay. All in favor of approving the payment? $99,299.29.
Aye.
Aye. Six in favor, zero opposed, one absent. Okay. Mather Clark is absent at the moment. Now we're going to consider an act on a budget transfer.
I think we have two for you to consider an act on.
Would you like them separate?
Two that are information only. I think it's more clear for the board clerk if they're separate.
I'd like to make a motion that we transfer the amount of $3,500 in the category of repairs to the category of fire security mice.
Okay. That one has already been done. That was included, but we've already done that one.
Oh, I didn't even know you joined us, Jill. Thank you.
I will withdraw my motion.
So this one's for information only also.
I'll withdraw the motion. Jill, we also need one for the Stewart and Stevenson for the $8,000?
No, that's just a purchase order.
The transfer's for $4,000. No, I'm sorry.
$6,000.
$6,000, yes. Yep.
From uniforms to fire security.
Then I make a motion that we transfer $6,000 from uniforms to the fire security and maintenance store.
Second?
Yes.
Is there any discussion on this one? $6,000 transfer? If there's no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's six in favor and one absent.
And is the purchase order for...
It's just information.
Just information?
It was attached to the request for transfer. As was a lot of its own information.
Oh, it's in the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's the only one we had.
That's the only one that requires
one for seniors.
And then you had one for seniors, which is just for information only. That's within the amount that the Board of Selectmen said I could approve, so I approved it. Okay. And Mather Clark is now joining us at 6:26. And then you have one in the tax collector's budget, again, for information only, $373 from other payroll to regular payroll. And that concludes that part of your meeting.
Okay, now we're going to discuss and possible action on a Board of Selectmen retreat.
We did reach out to John Elsesser, who has said that, you know, he would be willing to do that for us. He said that he would give us, because he's working as a consultant at this point, he would give us the same favorable rate that he gives Coventry, which is $95 an hour. He said that he anticipated if we wanted him to help prepare for the meeting, it would be about 3 hours of preparation. And then we would have to decide how long we wanted the event to go for. We talked about 4 to 6 hours as a max, I think. And then he said if we wanted him to prepare notes about the meeting afterward, probably that would take another couple of hours. So it looks like on the outside, you know, somewhere between $800 and $1,200. We did not get into talking about dates. He did say that he was busy currently, but you know, would probably be able to make some time for us.
Did Pam? Oh well, do we want to make a motion on this? Is that we're just a discussion? Impossible action. So we just leave it as a discussion. Good night. Okay.
Discussion. Question?
Yes.
Does this board unanimously feel that we need a facilitator for this particular event? Because I think that's a lot of money.
So the facilitator would do what for us?
He would help us generate an agenda. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things a facilitator does for you is keep you on target as a group so that you don't go off in, you know, different directions. He keeps you on task. And then in this particular instance, he would be willing, if you paid him the additional fees, he'd be willing to prepare some notes as a part of it.
If we wanted it, yeah. Right. So
I personally just... Oh, well, I'm not this one.
No, go ahead. Stop with the well.
I mean, could we formulate an agenda on our own and come up with a plan, which would probably be the hard part? And then as far as the discussions go, they go as far as we want to go, but... can we keep it within a certain scope of time would be the hard part, which I can't imagine there'd be enough topics to talk about to go on for more than 4 or 6 hours. That's a lot of time.
Well,
I'm
sorry. I thought you're done.
Is there a clerk that's involved in this? Or he would take the notes? We don't have a board clerk.
He would take the notes.
Okay. Do we need a board clerk if we don't?
It's a meeting.
So
a
we
meeting.
Would have to pay
or record
a clerk
it or
either way. Okay. Okay. Bob?
My thought is I think we're the ones that should put together the agenda. I mean, we all have, I think, items that we feel are critical. And we, as a board, maybe should take a half an hour prior to that to say, okay, let's together come up with what we want rather than have a third party do that. I think we certainly are, we've been working together now for a couple of months. I think we have a good enough understanding of each other. We should be able to do that. I mean, if we can't do that, come on. I think we're quite capable of doing it. And it's just a matter of us disciplining ourselves. And I can't see it taking more than an hour to come up with specific topics. I mean, so we bring it to a meeting, we sit down, we hash it out, say, this is what we're going to hold it down to. That's what we're going. I think it's important to have somebody there to hold us to that because it's. I have a tendency to go off. I don't know about anybody else, but it'd be nice to have somebody pulling me back in, but I think that part, he would be an asset. The rest of it, I think we can do that ourselves.
Tim, boom, boom. First of all, I have the utmost respect for John and his experience, and I'm eager to learn as much as possible about the processes and everything, but it may be helpful to take a stab at it ourselves. And sometimes after you have a discussion, you generate questions, then perhaps we would have a better idea of what we'd like to accomplish or do different the second time around. And perhaps it would be a need or not for a facilitator in the future. So I would vote for doing it, not that we're taking a vote. It seems like we have a lot of experience in this room as it is.
Amanda?
Thanks. I do think we can pull together an agenda. That being said, as someone who facilitates many meetings for my agency and others, you're not going to get someone who's going to facilitate a meeting who's going to come in cold. So he's going to charge us at least some time for prep for this meeting so that he feels prepared to facilitate us, whether he helps us with the agenda or not. So we have to be prepared for that. I do think in the grand scheme of the overall budget, it's a minute expense. If we have it in our budget this year, or, you know, I don't think we're going to need to maybe move that much money.
I have the money in the administrative budget.
Yes. So I do think it's a worthwhile expense, given that this is a new board structure with 7 members that we've never had before. It's a new chairperson who's never been here before. It's an opportunity to take a chance and really do this right and all get on the same page for the future of Bolton. And so I do think that it's a worthwhile expense to do it well. It would be a shame if we took all this time and energy and put it into an agenda and then sat down and kind of, not saying that we're not a competent group, right? But it is much easier when, again, there's an outsider facilitating and making sure that we are holding ourselves accountable. So I would be in favor of doing it and having a outside facilitator come in, particularly one who I've heard such good things about.
One.
I agree that we can set our agenda ourselves. And I really like Bob's idea of having a short meeting ahead of time where we can all bring our ideas for the agenda. And so I don't think that John needs to set the agenda for us. I agree with Amanda that he would probably need to do a little bit of prep after we set the agenda and we send it to him. And I think it's key to have him there at the meeting because he will keep us on topic. He will also, sometimes people there might be a little bit reticent to talk about a subject, and he, a good facilitator will say, well, we've heard a number of topics. We've heard some ideas from these three people. What do you two think? Or, you know, he can pull people out. He can rein people back in. And just really for time efficiency, because I think we will eat up the time pretty quickly. And he will make sure that that the time, like if we do 4 hours that, and we've got 5 topics, he'll divide up and he'll make sure that we stay right on that schedule and divide the time equally among all the issues. So I'm in favor of having a facilitator, but not to do the agenda. And I'm not even sure we would need him to do, well, I suppose we'd have to bring a board clerk in anyway. I think it would maybe make sense if he's willing to do like minutes for us. Sure. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that though, and
that's hard to do that
at the same time.
We
might have to.
You have a board with all kinds of topics, and then you try and put that together. I mean, at least the ones we've been through, that's
so maybe,
basically.
Maybe we would need a clerk then.
You don't have to. The only thing you have to document is if you're making motions.
Well, it's not that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean.
No, that's okay.
That's why you need a guy to shut me up.
I think it would be good.
The elbow. All you need is an elbow. I've taught Rodney how the elbow be there.
Just for FOI requirements, you're right. But I think we're going to want this as a document going forward. You know, 3 years from now, we might say, what did we talk about at that retreat? We did decide X, Y, and Z. And I think it'd be good to have some fairly complete notes.
Mather?
I think we can set our own agenda. I don't know enough about the process and have enough experience with it to really weigh whether we need a facilitator or not.
You started it, Pam. You want to?
I think with the experience in this room, particularly since we have people who have experienced these types of events, we could do it without a facilitator. You set a timer for the particular issue, and at the end of the timer, you go around the table again and see if there's any more ideas. We'll be having a board clerk there anyway. I don't believe we need one, but that's my perspective on it because I see the experience sitting at this table. I feel that in this case, if there is some feeling that we won't get enough out of it, if we don't have a facilitator, that's different. But we will not be making decisions at a retreat. That's not what the retreat is for.
It's a workshop. It's for ideas. It's for should we, what could we do? And we would make decisions at a board meeting. But it's for dialogue. So it's your call. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable without a facilitator, that's different.
So who would be attending this? Just the select?
So it's an open meeting. Whoever would like to come, they come.
However, we could limit who speaks.
Correct.
I mean, the people can come and watch, but we can say
no public comment.
No comment.
My hope would be that the Board of Selectmen would come out of this meeting with identifying where they had common ground and what their goals for the next 2 years or 4 years might be. Because, you know, what at the end of the day, you know, staff does their routine everyday things, right? But if we set goals, if we have ideas that we all agree on, and we set goals and we're working toward meeting specific goals, but one of the things that you do if you have a retreat next year is look and see how you did with meeting the goals that you're set for yourself. Are we moving in the right direction? Do we need to change? Do we need to do something different? And I think, you know, that's one of the values of having this kind of a workshop. Now, you may, you know, come up with ideas for goals at, you know, the retreat and not act on those until you get into a regular board meeting. But that really would be my hope, you know, and it will probably help the board formulate goals for me when they do my next review, right? Because my goals should be tied to the vision of this board.
I'm not disagreeing with any of that.
Right. So I think it's important. And whether or not you choose to have a facilitator, I'm excited, you know, that we're having this discussion and we're talking about getting together to do just that.
Amanda?
Just to speak to Pam's point about, you know, people who have experience with facilitation, like, yes, we do. But if I'm going to be a facilitator, I want to be neutral. And I don't want to be neutral at this meeting because I have opinions, right? And right. So I do think, you know, I'm trained in results-based facilitation, and you're supposed to be neutral if you're facilitating. I don't think that any of us could be objectively neutral in this situation, nor should we be, because that's why we were elected to these positions. So I do think it's important to have a neutral facilitator.
Tim?
So my thinking is that if we're going to sit down and try to put an agenda together, you would basically be doing a brainstorming workshop anyways. So, I mean, I would think that you'd probably be 2/3 of the way through this workshop by the time you come up with an agenda without a stopgap person saying, oh, we're off the agenda. You can't go there. I don't know what they would do. I don't understand, but if somebody's going to stop you while you're brainstorming, that would be a drawback, wouldn't it? I mean, because you're going to come up with ideas that I don't. That's my thinking. I just don't understand what they would do.
You know, I don't.
Go ahead.
I've been through a lot of them. I mean, a number of them, and some are successful, some weren't. I mean, it really depends. It depends as much on this group as the facilitator. But what I think is important about it is this group is a good working group. None of us are a bunch of wilting flowers. I mean, we are a group of people who have strong opinions, and that's where they are, and have no hesitation with putting them out. I need somebody to corral that and make it into a positive and doing things forward. That's my and my concern of not having someone there is that we can go off. And I am one that can do that. And I know, Rodney, you can try and hold me back, but I think a neutral party could probably do it better.
Tim, go ahead.
Well, I couldn't think of a better person to do it than John, to put it that way. So right. We're going to have a facilitator.
Right. So I say we try to set a date and get through the agenda first before we
putting an agenda together, right? Yeah. Because I think a lot of these questions will be answered at that point.
Do we need a motion? Do we need any type of motion?
Yeah, well, I think there needs to be a decision as to whether or not you want me to pursue a facilitator and whether or not that's John.
I'll make a motion that the Board of Selectmen authorize up to $1,200 for the purpose of a Board of Selectmen retreat and authorize Jim to work to schedule a retreat with John Elsesser, and that we schedule a special meeting or add to a future meeting's agenda to set the agenda for said retreat.
I'm not sure. Did you say up to 1,200?
Okay. Right.
Thank you. I'll second.
Is there any more discussion? I say we lower the limit, but if we're going to put the agenda together.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Is there a lower limit you'd like to see?
Well,
So if we're going to set the agenda, he's going to be down to hopefully, what, a four-hour day? Plus.
It depends on how long you set your meeting, and I think that's going to be difficult to determine until you set your agenda. Okay. And I think the other piece to remember, I think Amanda's absolutely accurate, whether or not he helps you form your agenda, he's going to want to spend a little bit of time becoming familiar with the agenda prior to that. So there will be some preparation expense.
Okay.
Ms. Chairman, I asked a question up to for a reason.
Right. Yeah.
That, you know, I think we can do it for less, in all candor. But that doesn't mean who knows? I mean, I don't know what's going to come out of this.
Frequently when I run down these numbers, if it's over $1,000, I look at it. If it's 900, usually it slides through without.
Bob, should you pay the overages
and
we go over?
No.
Because you say you talk about
No. This is it.
No. If you tell a taxpayer that you're spending $1,200 for a meeting, you know, versus 900, it's under 1,000. Yep. Do they flinch? They don't. But anyways, we can. Is there any other discussion?
Jim, you mentioned there's money for this in the budget already.
There's a line item in the administration budget that we could take it out of. Yes.
And how much is that roughly?
Well, it starts at the beginning of the year with around $15,000.
So
we don't have that much in there.
Yeah, it's part of
at
that.
This
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still have a ways to go before the year's over.
Yeah, we're about halfway through. Yeah.
I would like to see the motion split as a split motion for votes. One for having a meeting and setting the agenda, and the second one for hiring a facilitator, please.
I'm good with that. Thank you. You want one heart, one, two.
Yeah. I'll amend my motion that the board authorize Jim to spend up to $1,200, but potentially less, to hire a consultant for the purposes of a strategic planning meeting and to work with that consultant to set a meeting date that works for the board.
I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
So we got 5-4-2 against and, oh, no, yeah. 5-4-2 against. Cam and Rodney are no's. Are you a no? Yeah.
Correct.
And everybody else is a yes.
To make a second motion.
Okay. Go ahead.
That the Board of Selectmen set aside time on an agenda of a regular meeting or set a special meeting date to discuss the agenda, to discuss and set the agenda for this retreat.
I would second that motion.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's 7 yes for the second motion. Thank you. So now we have our senior social services and public health.
So when will we be setting aside that time for that meeting?
Okay.
Are you going back to number 4?
I
yes. I mean, I thought that was an, I thought we were going to do that as part of the line item. I mean, are we going to be now? Is it going to be on another agenda to talk about
the date?
The date, no. Setting a date for.
Well, I'll work with John to try to get some of his available dates.
No, I mean, we still have to set
agenda.
Yeah, for us,
for our good. Agenda.
But if we knew when John was available, then we could go backwards and it will push us.
We will keep you on task. Kathy and I will take a look at. You guys have a very busy month and a half still, but we'll try to find some time, and we will try to schedule that for you, just like we schedule all these other meetings. Okay, good. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
I know I got too many dates going on. Kathy's got to handle it.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you got your reminders too on your phone.
And I did do some research and found I think one Board of Selectmen's retreat agenda that might be a good skeleton to start with. There's not a lot out there, but you know, I was searching and I did find a couple that were helpful and I think might help start the process.
Okay, so Carrie, you got the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Both the senior center and social service side of the department have definitely been bustling lately. As those of you have had the opportunity to see, we're definitely having a huge increase in participation, which is really phenomenal to see. Most of the line items that I'm presenting today are, for the most part, very stable from last year. There was a slight amount of tweaking in the professional education lines for training and for dues and fees, just to kind of correct a little bit of where I'm seeing more of a need. Another line item that is really seeing a need to increase is the repairs and maintenance services, 54,300. And the reason for that is it has been traditionally underfunded. We've seen a lot of budget transfers in that area because as the brunt of those expenses relate to the vehicles, and those expenses have gone up, the fleet is getting older. So we're just finding it's not enough. We're having a lot of unexpected repairs that are just coming up over and over again. So that's an area where I did increase that line item by $2,000 to try to account for that. The brunt of the change in my budget this year is a change to the payroll line item. This change impacts the staff members of my department. We have two part-time office staff members. One is a program coordinator / administrative assistant. The other is an administrative assistant. And then we have 5 per diem van drivers. Their positions have really not changed in the past few years. They have stayed just increases of non-union staff. And at this point, their rates are lower than a lot of comparable towns. As minimum wage has gone up, they're not much higher than minimum wage at this point. These are very skilled professionals. They make a tremendous difference in the lives of many people that they interact with on a sometimes daily basis. So I really feel that they are extremely valuable to the residents of Bolton and all the participants. And I feel like we're not really fairly compensating them. So that was the reason to try to adjust accordingly. And another change within that part was that the van drivers themselves, we currently do not pay for their physicals that are required for their CDL or passenger endorsement. They have no other benefits, and that is quite an expense, the number of hours that they need to work to cover that. Really getting quite large. So that was something that I thought should be incorporated, and that was included for the other professional services line item.
No.
Question and answer time.
Any questions or? And I did prepare some, just some explanations of you know, more in depth as well. That was a suggestion by Mike Aramita last year, and I thought it was an excellent suggestion because a lot of my line items are somewhat vague. So it's not always easy to understand what they refer to.
I noticed one thing in that the actual maintenance expenditures for 22-23 was just under $5,000. So that $5,000 is, I think, a pretty good figure on that. That's a realistic figure.
Does the highway department work on these vehicles?
We do, but you know, I think you know those of you who weren't part of the previous board. One of the things that we did is we pushed off the purchase of a senior van because it was in pretty good shape, but it has caused us to spend a little more money on repairs, and Carrie is trying to account for that in the budget.
Can we get a report back? I'm sorry, John. Can we have a report back on to how many miles are on the senior van? Vans at some point to have a solid feel for where we are in that.
Sure.
I can certainly get mileage age.
Also, some of the repair item is used for the inspections that are required for DMV registration that has to be completed off-site and submitted to renew our registration every year. We rotate every year between the 10 passenger and the 20 passenger. So it does occur every single year, mm-hmm. but that's something that cannot be provided by our own staff.
Are you done? Am I interrupting you?
No.
Oh, okay. No, you weren't?
No, you weren't interrupting me. And yes, I am. Thank you.
Last question, Mr. Chairman. What was your recommendation for the hourly rate for the van drivers? Was it 20?
Yes.
Bring up from 17.
Right.
Something.
So currently, the position is a little bit, this current fiscal year is 17.28. So these were comparables for this current fiscal year mm-hmm. of other towns.
As time's by. Each driver.
For each, right. It's calculated, drivers are not calculated individually. They're calculated based on the estimate of how many hours we're going to need the vehicles mm-hmm. okay. over the course. And that goes based on historic data because we're always collecting our number of hours because that's part of the DOT grant. We receive the matching payment grant. So we submit statistics 3 times a year to DOT. So it's based on approximately 20 hours a month for the larger vehicles and about 25 hours a week for the minivans. Because of course we never really know how many rides are going to be scheduled in advance. So we really have to have a rough estimate of about how much it will cost us monthly to cover all of the drivers.
Thank you.
Amanda. Thanks. So I think, is this accurate that the vans are 2015, 16, 17 and 2020?
Correct.
Okay, so they're not all super old. Some of them are relatively new-ish.
The 2015 and the 2020 are both the minivans.
Okay.
The 2016 and 17 are the 10 passenger and the 20 passenger.
There was one of the minivans that we're looking to replace, right?
It's the 2015.
The 15, because it has a lot of miles.
Yes.
That's the one that's probably used the most, isn't it?
It has been heavily used, especially during the pandemic, because it has seats that were easier to clean. So it really accrued quite a lot of miles. For a long time, it was accruing about 25,000 miles a year.
Uh-huh. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I had questions on MAC charity. So I work with them, familiar with them, but I also know we have our own pantry. Do we get data from them on how many Bolton residents use their services?
We don't get data from them. We do have our own pantry. Our pantry is non-perishable items. We don't have a huge amount of space. So our collaboration with MAC allows Bolton residents to participate in their pantry, which does include produce, dairy, meat, you know, all sorts of other items. It's been a wonderful collaboration. It also includes, they provide Operation Fuel. They do a lot with shelter and other emergency cases. So we have had mutual clients
in the past that that we have worked with. That has been a stable amount the entire time I've been here. I don't know what year it originated. It has never increased at all.
It would be interesting.
It's been 5 years they've been at that rate.
Right.
So
right.
It's probably the biggest bargain that we get.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a bargain we want to make sure we're using, right? And that our taxpayers know about. So, I mean, it would be interesting just to see data. I know they collect demographics on most of the people they serve. So if it's possible to get a report on how many people from Bolton are using their services, I mean, and I know they recently had a change in executive director.
Correct.
And some things that they provide for are anonymous. And some other things.
I mean, if we had their homeless outreach person come out, it would be.
Yeah, exactly. There's some things. There's we have a lot of data.
Yes. And I have collaborated with their staff members.
Yeah.
Many times. Yes.
Yeah. just so we can, you know, show the why we're doing that. And then I, you know, as a social worker myself, I would say that the coordinator position, the rate that you are proposing is much more in line and even below normal coordinator positions, right? Mm-hmm. Do we require a degree of any kind for our program coordinator position? Do they have to have a BSW, MSW, or anything like that?
The program coordinator is not an assumed. So they're not a social services professional. So I have an MSW.
Okay.
So I'm the only social services professional in the department.
But still, I will say frontline staff, that's a fair going rate right now. What you're proposing as opposed to where they are at, that is where they're at right now is quite low for the field.
And they do have to be trained on our, you know, our software. They have to be familiar with all the programs. There's a lot of customer service and, of course, confidentiality. They're still working with people who are seeking assistance for social services. So.
And resources are changing every day, and they are expected to know how to access them. I definitely can see why you put that bump in. That's it for me.
Tim?
Hey, Carrie, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble finding the current rates. I see the proposed rates.
This is our current fiscal year.
Okay, thank you.
So this, and then the following column is if we increased by 2.75 or instead I put a proposed increase. So the amount that is included on the line item is including the proposed rates.
Thank you. And these drivers, they have a Class C, correct? Commercial license?
Some of our drivers, too, have a CDL.
Yeah, Class license. C for passenger vehicles.
And the other three have passenger endorsement only, so they only drive the minivans.
Okay.
This is becoming increasingly problematic because we are needing more wheelchair-accessible transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And also with our regular programming, needing a 20-passenger van and having limited drivers if someone has any kind of injury or medical leave or a vacation, we're very limited for our schedule. And of course, we have more and more people participating. So we do have a lot of events that are occurring where we're requiring the 20-passenger van. So that is, it is causing a little bit of an issue with not being able to accommodate as many rides as we would like.
Do you think that has anything to do with what they're paid?
I think it's hard to find CDL drivers. I think that's across the board. I know they were having the same issue with bus drivers. It is a hard position to fill, especially the hours are not guaranteed. They're based on the needs that we have.
Yeah, it's hard,
right?
It's not a set schedule. It's based on when we have people scheduling the rides. They're only called in for the hours they work. So their hours vary all over the place, which gives some flexibility, but.
License they hold, because. There's different demands for different A, B, C, you know, so forth.
Correct.
So you have.
But they all require a physical.
Yeah.
At their own expense.
Correct.
Is that now about $500?
It's $100 each.
About $100 each.
Bob? Do we have one Class C? Most of the line.
We have two drivers.
Two C drivers.
Two C drivers.
Mm-hmm. So they're higher. level.
So currently the van drivers are getting $17.28 an hour. And that's it.
Correct.
There's no, nothing.
They have no paid time off. They have no other benefits.
So you proposed going to $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And do they work, do they normally work maybe 100 hours a year, 200?
I think total, I think it
was. You said about $25 a week for the,
yeah.
For the minivan.
Okay.
So we could, if we calculated from there.
I could total up how many.
Yeah.
I want to say.
Oh, just ballpark.
Yeah, hey. Total. I'd like to think.
If it's 20 hours a week, that's 1,000 a year. That's a lot. I can't imagine they do that.
So 25 hours a week times 52 weeks is 1,300 hours.
Yeah. I would say at least 1,000 would probably be my guess. Just off the top of my head, but I could look into that. Total.
Yeah. Oh, total.
All,
okay.
All
yeah.
Oh, so they're doing 200 each, 300, whatever.
Some okay. Do more than others, right. But.
So in my world, my thinking is frequently that a benefit like the health, to get their inspections, it costs the town $100. To give them more money, it costs them $100 plus whatever additional payments on Social Security and Medicare have to be made. So it's always a benefit to try to give them a benefit versus an increase in pay, only because it just keeps racking up. You know, even if you pay for their phone, give them an allowance, $20 a week for a phone or something, you know, you're paying $20 and there's no employee cost to it. Because that rolls into your workers' comp insurance and your liability insurance and the whole nine yards. So, you know, you give them $20 for a phone and it's really worth, you know, $25.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, it's just a thought in general that I think so. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Are there any grants that you're looking forward to applying for? Is there anything that's tickled your fancy that you've seen coming up that you're inspired? And this is not me. Please don't feel you have to answer it now, but that's just a question that you have in the future.
Well, the biggest thing we're facing right now is we have until June to complete the application for the Senior Center ARPA funding, which was the $10 million that the state allotted to Senior Center specifically. Bolton was based on their formula. We were given the amount of $15,000. It's not precisely $15,000, but it's in the $15,000 range. And the plan for that was to work on getting more accessible vehicles with those dollars. But that has to be submitted by June of this year, 2024, but it has to be completely expended by 2026.
So could you do it over a 2-year period and go 15 and 15?
It's just a one-time.
One-time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, correct.
Amanda.
Well, I don't know if this is appropriate, but to that end, the CAPA, the finance committee, when in discussing CAPA, did put the van into the capital plan, spreading it out over 2 years so that it could be expensed by the 2026 deadline.
Correct.
Then, and we could make use of this $15,000.
Yes. So that we know is coming up. We applied last year for a FEMA grant, hoping to expand our fantastic Knox Box safety program. We were not awarded those funds. The fire department did purchase additional boxes, which have been put into place. So that has been a really wonderful program. So we may continue to look for additional funding just to continue to offer that to more and more people around town.
Does everybody know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a Knox box is a very secure metal box that can be affixed to a structure. And every Knox box in town, whether it be on a residential property or a commercial building, uses the same key. And inside that box, you would put keys for a home. Right? In this particular instance, we started this program 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're using Knox boxes that hang over the front doors.
Correct. They're all door hangers.
And
but they can be hung on a railing.
But we have to purchase them. And whenever the fire department wants to use the key to access a Knox box, they actually have to have the key released from a electronic holder that's in the fire truck. So there's a record of it every time a key is used. And that allows them to enter a home or a business without breaking a door or window.
Someone that's fallen can't get up. They can't get the door's locked. They have a history of not feeling well. These boxes are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Very good. Yes.
Couple questions.
Yeah.
Under director salary, the word, you have 3% placeholder. So what does the word placeholder mean there?
That's because our union contract isn't in place yet. Our contract currently expires June 30th. So I don't have a percentage to put. So I just calculated it based on that for the meantime until okay. We know what the contracted amount is.
Okay, but the other positions are all, you're proposing 2.75% increases on the other positions.
Based on the fact that they're all non-union, and that was what the non-union staff was given this year currently.
Okay.
So those were just used for calculation purposes.
Okay. And then on your narrative, there's, and this is the narrative under explanation of increase, the 1, 2, 3, third paragraph down, the last sentence says similar positions in other Bolton town departments currently receive a higher rate of pay. So what similar positions in other Bolton town departments were you looking at?
So I was looking at, excuse me, all the administrative assistant positions. One in particular I know was on an agenda recently was the fire department's administrative assistant. That position is paid at a higher rate. It's hard to compare because they're all such unique positions.
Yes.
That was yeah. One comparable that was used.
Yeah. I think that's it. Those are the only questions in there.
Just a short question. And I'm just going back to the driver thing. And the class S drivers are able to drive the larger van, but you have to go to classes, you have to get class. I'm just wondering if there should be a difference in pay between them and the other drivers, so maybe $1 an hour or some. This is thought, but because they've had to pay for their own training to get even to that position, still a part time. They're driving a different vehicle with a lot, that accommodates disabled individuals because you have the lift and everything to get people in and out. Drivers are being asked, I think, to do a little more than a typical van driver does. This is looking at it from the outside. Maybe I'm wrong, but
right.
I'm just running it by. What am I off in left field on this thing?
I just think it would be difficult to calculate, depending on would they also receive that rate while also driving the minivans or
oh, they do only? Both.
Because they right. can do,
they do
both vehicles.
Okay.
That may make it a little more complicated.
They're not complaining about their pay rate. This is something that Carrie has taken. And, when minimum wage went up in January to, was it 15.67? It made, wage disparity between regular part-time employees and part-time seasonal employees just not that great. And the other thing that, Carrie and I have discussed, and we will be discussing at the meeting for those of you who are scheduled to come on Thursday for the subcommittee meeting, is that Carrie feels that she can absorb some wage increase this year. And our proposal would be to consider starting some wage increases for some of these individuals this year, and then moving into the balance for next fiscal year. But that is a discussion that will be had by the subcommittee, and then if the subcommittee feels like that's something that they want to endorse and bring that to the full board for action, they certainly will be able to do that.
Okay, is that it? Any other questions? Yes.
I would like to have a discussion in a future board meeting, not to hold it up now, but to talk about how to get make it more attractive for perhaps some of our employees to get their CDLs, how we could do it to make it cost effective, because we have had an experience where we had someone who wanted to do it through the town equipment and was turned down to have get experience on the 10 passenger and so on and so forth, because there's a certain requirement
for training.
For training. And they had no other people to train them, and because and a certain person nixed it. So I would like to have, I just ask that it be put on another agenda in the future of the board.
Okay, very good to send a note for Kathy. Note to Kathy. So I think you're clear to. To move forward.
Yes, I could do public health. We always forget.
Oh.
It happens every year.
So public health consists of Carrie?
Yep.
Public health is for the Eastern Highlands Health District.
Is one solid? Is that, does that
that's
number represents one
contribution?
That's our contribution to the health district.
Okay.
The health district.
Okay, correct.
And how many towns does he represent now?
He, who?
Well, it's they.
They.
The health district. I don't know. The
Eastern
Northeast.
Highlands, Eastern Highlands is 10 towns like, total.
10 towns.
I think it's 10.
With how many health inspectors?
Well, you have a director of public health. You have their med control, which is Dr. Darla. You have an office staff person. And then we have probably. I think they probably have about 6 employees after that. And then they have a nurse on staff.
Nine.
So it's probably somewhere between 10 and 12 employees.
Thank you.
So this is divvied up among 10 towns, or not this, but it was 10 towns, it'd be 280,000. So
well, it's more yeah, than that. Their budget is in the millions. Yeah. But they do get a state contribution.
Yeah.
And this is paid per capita.
It's per capita.
So right. So it's much more fair that way. You know, we're not paying the same as Mansfield or Coventry. Yeah. We're paying based on the number of residents that we have.
It's when you shop based around, it's one of the a better bison,
right?
And you compare it to the other services out there. And
if you're you know, so interested in budgets, you want to look at the Eastern Highlands Health District. But it is posted. I do sit on the finance committee, and I tend to be one of the very conservative members of the finance committee. I ask the same kind of questions that you all ask of me here. At those finance committee meetings. So you guys trained me really good and I go out there and do the same thing. But I agree with Bob. You know, we get a lot of service, you know, as a coordinated effort, you know, through Eastern Highlands Health District. We get more things than we could get on our own for a lower cost than if we had, you know, a health inspector and a health director.
They're extremely helpful for us when we had that algae outburst on the lake and all the issues we had with that. It was
yeah, they're actually the lead agency.
They were. So it really, you know, And they're good on the day to day, but it's good to have a good organization like that backing you up if, you know, when it, you know, what hits the fan.
What hits the fan, Bob?
I'm still excited thinking that the UConn students in Mansfield, the population's got to be huge, so they're paying per population.
Can I ask Jim a question?
Yeah.
Did you forget to turn the heat down?
Oh, jeez.
Well, past meetings, we were freezing to death. Is that not
great? That had nothing to do with it. It is toasty.
Yes.
All right. So I think that's it for the public health. Any questions? Any other questions? If we run around that. So there's only one thing left to do.
Thank you, Gary.
That's true. Thank you very much, Terry. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Terry.
Keep it up. Someday I'm going to be a senior.
Let us know what I have. I
think you've already qualified, actually. I hate to tell you. That's the bad news.
It just creeps right up on you.
Let us know what that happens.
Where'd you get that?
Knox Fox. Yeah, it was a little while ago.
He's going to get a knock box.
I was accused of being 55 today. So
good for you.
I felt good with that.
You got carted somewhere?
No, it was Roger Wilson. But I think his eyesight's going bad, too.
All right, so town clerk is next on your agenda there, sir.
Okay.
And she is here virtually.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, it's just a little Liz water in the corner.
It is.
That's it. I don't know why it doesn't say the whole thing on the screen, but oh well, I'm here.
Okay. We're ready for you.
Oh. Okay. All right. I think my budget's pretty straightforward. The payroll is just the raises and increases in longevity. So that's kind of a given. The other things that we just had was our dog program, which is labeled BAS on the decision package, is up by $33.80. They've been going up every year incrementally around 5%. The $300 increase on the COT is that property check feature that we added.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is like $25 a month. So that's what brings that up a little bit. And I think that's pretty much it. I did notice that on my on the spreadsheet there, I had a little bit, I had a few hundred dollars extra on the advertising. That I neglected to put on the decision package somehow. That got missed. But I think that's basically because the advertising in the newspaper that we have to do for legal notices has just gone up. Just crazy. And we are still required under the statute to publish those notices in the paper. So until they finally decide that they're going to pass that law, allowing us to just put it on our website, we are still required to put it in a paper. And then, like I said, it's very costly.
Paper loves it.
Yeah.
So it keeps them alive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think I'm sure their lobby is probably, you know, fighting it because obviously they don't want to lose that kind of revenue as it is. Their, you know, papers are struggling. In paper format anyways. I would imagine they're probably doing okay online, but and they would have to diversify a little bit more, I think. But at this point, you know, we're getting some resistance from them. So I think that's it, really. It's pretty basic. I don't really have anything else other than those things, those items.
And can you clarify again what the BAS is for? Sorry, I couldn't really hear it.
It's our dog licensing program that we use.
Oh, okay.
So it houses our database of all the dogs and the owners in town, and we use that to issue the tags. It's a separate program from our COT program that we use as our register and also our indexing for land records and all our other, you know, charges that we put through the office. Because the one that's on board with COT is just a terrible program and they really don't support it anymore. It's really horrible. So since I've been clerk, we brought in the BAS. It's actually called Edmunds GovTech now. The company changed names, got acquired by this other outfit. So I still call it BAS out of habit. But they have been going up in their, it's an annual fee just to use the program and to have support.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, is there any questions?
I have one. The term longevity, I mean, I know what the word longevity means, but is that when in the description, the increase in the payroll, this is due to staff raises per union contracts and longevity. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that longevity is a part of the increase that is negotiated under the union contract?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. As far as I know, because I've been here over 10 years, when you reach the 10-year mark, you get this longevity. I don't know what you want to call it, like a little bonus or something. So it's just an extra couple $100, you know, for me now. And, you know, as I'm here longer, it increases. So there is a schedule in there, and I want to say it probably is part of the contract, although I am not a contracted employee. I follow the supervisor's contract.
So it's...
And it's negotiated. It's negotiated in the supervisor's contract,
right?
Yep.
And you get X number of dollars for X number of years of service.
Okay.
And it's paid annually as a stipend.
Right.
And
the amount she's quoting is it's in maybe $100 or $200.
Okay.
Really, yeah. Small.
So the payroll is for two people, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's for me and Cindy. That's all that's in our office.
Yeah. Yep. Is there any other questions? No questions.
Nope.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth.
Okay, no problem.
Appreciate you coming on. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
I'm going to call the assessor.
Probably pretty busy.
3 minute recess, Mr. Chairman?
3 minute recess. Granted.
Yeah. You complain? Sometimes when there's snow.
Sure.
You never know. There's.
Why? It's not going. Not
okay, we're back. We're back in the meeting. We have Kara. Welcome.
Hi. So I'm not sure what you
what we were looking for, but basically this was the detail of the expenses for the coming fiscal year. The big increase was for the pricing books for motor vehicles. That is tentative because I don't know, they're changing the structure. And so these were the best estimates that we got from CAAO for doing our budgets. Do you want me to go through each line item or however you like?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the first two accounts, the first account, let's see, 53,200 is I just anticipated an increase in the assessor school, you know, for both the assessor and the assistant. And then there's two symposiums that are held, one in the fall, one in the spring. I just figured I don't know that there's going to be an increase, but it's safe to put something in there for that. Second line is for other education. One is so that the assistant can go to a course besides assessor school, and that the assessor can go to a course. And then I don't know if they're this year, a member of the BAA went to the seminar that was held in New Britain. So I just threw that in there in case they want to go next year, anyone wants to go. And estimating maybe, $50 fee or $25 fee. Usually for a seminar, it's going to be about $50 for any additional seminars that come along. Next line was legal ads. We put the BAA in the twice a year. And then there was a cost for the announcement that goes out in October. Printing and binding of grand list, that was straight from the quote. They send us a list on how to do that, on how much that's going to be. The increase notices, the books we need, but the increase notices, I'm going to try sending them out from here this year, see how that goes, just because I seem to have more quality control over it when that happens. Mm-hmm. So that might be, would be the increase notices, if I remember correctly, are somewhere in the vicinity of like $300 or $400. That includes postage, right?
Right.
Yeah. The pricing books, I explained that. The next line was for so that we can get a large format printer to have down there if we want to make copies of tax maps, which are usually easier to see on the bigger maps. Right now we run up here, it's not a huge thing, but it would be, and we have one printer down there now, and it's be good to have a second one. And then,
which item is that? I'm sorry.
Fifth, 56120.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, yes. And then the last one was, I forget what it's called, dues and fees. All the organizations, these are things that we've been subscribing to currently, and not knowing what's going to happen, they could not go up, they could be the same, but I just put in for you know, a placeholder, a 10% increase. And that's pretty much it.
Bob, just one thing on the printer. Wouldn't that come under administrative instead of being really being part of?
So typically we would purchase that out of the equipment line item in the administrators in the administration budget, and they would want to allow for the ink that they would use throughout the course of the year in their office and operating expenses. And the other thing I will say is that postage would have to be moved from this budget into John Butromovich's budget.
Okay.
Postage.
You said about $300 in postage.
That's when they send it out. When QDS sends it out.
But if you're gonna add $300 to our postage, that needs to be increased in somebody else's budget.
I see.
Not yours.
They pay for
with QDS though, Jim. QDS charges us postage because they put the postage on it, so it doesn't come out of our meters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
So, any other questions?
So the I'm just going back to my that one was $550 bucks. I think that was
she had about $1,251, I think, for the printer.
Yep.
Right, and then the ink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amanda?
Thanks. Forgive my ignorance of your department, but how many FT is it? Are both you and Ashley full time or?
Ashley is full time.
Right? You're full time as well.
I'm full time, but it's shared with Willington.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we bill Willington for 50% of her.
And that's what this column, the Y's are. Shared it just so you're aware of that stuff with me.
That's not reflected in this number.
Oh, okay.
That comes in on the under the revenues. The whole entire expense comes from the town of Bolton, and we get reimbursement for 50% of CARES salary and benefits.
Has there been that's worked? I know I just didn't know if there had been any request at some point. To Willington to...
So we were a little slow in getting started with the billing, but I think
we've billed them quarterly.
I think the billing is up to date.
Okay. All right.
So we're reimbursed 50% of 152,072?
No, because that's two people.
So we're reimbursed 50% of CARES salary, but not 50%.
Right, because actually worked for us full time.
Okay. So how much of the 152,072 is reimbursed?
So it's half of her salary, half of all of her benefits that aren't in her assessor's budget, and then half of her training or some dues and fees that she uses for both Willington and Bolton. So it's a combination of things that we get reimbursed for, but it's not just her salary, it's the benefits that are also in personnel benefits line. It's a different budget.
Yeah, this is just salary. So, I mean, I don't have those exact breakdown figures, but it was, what is it, like 95, 55 or something?
Is your base pay, right? But then there's health insurance and the town's portion of Social Security, Medicare, FICA.
So that's not included.
It's not included. Yeah. That comes out of a different part of the budget,
right?
Which is what Jill's explaining.
Okay.
Yeah. It's easy to figure out what half of your salary is, and Jill has an accounting of everything else when she bills.
So it would be unlikely to be 70,000.
That would be my guess. It's somewhere in that neighborhood.
Of which you're only going to see 40 or 40 here, something, because or 50, because some of
it's about 50 that you're going to see here.
Right. I don't know.
That's what I was getting.
And this is something that was done with the previous board. And this is a service that's worked out very well. We are fortunate to have Kara. She comes to us with a lot of experience. She's very, very good at what she does. She's worked with both the town of Bolton and the town of Willington very well. We did her evaluation together earlier this year. That went very well. And one of the largest benefits that the town of Bolton has seen out of this is that we now have an assessor who is accessible to the public based on the hours that she's here, which I think was one of our overarching goals. So last year, this budget change was a huge number change, right? You know, we kind of bit the bullet and moved forward with this. And I've not heard one regret on either side.
Pam?
I'd like to echo what Jim said, just from my experience working in the former seat that I held with Kara, and that she does an amazing amount of research when it's needed, and it's been very beneficial to our taxpayers.
Thank you.
And I have spoken with a lot of people on the internet about the revaluation. Anytime anyone has a question, I say, come into me, let's see if we can figure it out. And then, you know, otherwise you can go to the Board of Appeal. But so that has.
Your open door policy is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, but it has, it does. It's worked out. I'd rather just deal with things up front.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
So when the annex building opens, is the assessor going there?
So we've just, you know, not when the annex building opens.
Okay.
And we've discussed the fact that we have a lot of obstacles to overcome. So we're going to move the people into the annex building that have to move in because their building is going to be torn down. It does not, the discussion that we've had with the previous board is that it does not make sense to move any other staff into that building until the deconstruction has happened, okay. The demolition has happened. Right. But, you know, moving the tax collector and or assessor comes with a lot of obstacles that we have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And we've asked staff to think about what those obstacles are so that, you know, we can work creatively to try to address those. But it is our hope that we can make that work for accessibility purposes. Right now, they are just in the least accessible portion of the building, and it does not help our taxpayers, you know, get access to that office. So it's on the table. I will say that there's no final decision on that. That will be a decision that the board does make in consultation with the staff, and we will try to come to you with a well thought out plan. You know, but I think, you know, the staff have some concerns that they voiced, and I think some of their concerns are very well founded. So we'll have to try to work through those things.
And with that, I have to confess I was only referring to a printer to see if she could share with herself.
Sorry. So you got more than you asked for.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a possibility, sure. Yeah.
but if you're not going there, you're not going to share a printer with them.
Mr. Moore has a question.
Yes, Bob.
This is an observation or something we can do right now. I mean, based on our conversation of moving that printer item out of there, on item line item 56120, we should be able to reduce that by $1,291. Right?
Well, some of that is the cost for the ink, which does come out of our budget.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to narrow.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to pin down what if, because my red pencil is working.
Okay, so 561 times 1.25, that will be the ink cost. That's because you have to, you know, they have four.
Do you know what the cost of the proposed printer is? That's what we're trying to
find. I think it's about 500. That's what I had looked at.
500? Okay.
I think that's
all right. Then, well, yeah.
for cost, let's see, cost for, yeah, I just had, yeah, Ashley just kind of looked, and I looked real quick. I mean, it could be 500, 700. I mean, it wouldn't be a, you know, big commercial
type of thing. Well, we have, would it be good just to maybe?
It's about, so that leaves about $550 for the printer.
Okay. That's in the budget.
It's in the ballpark of what we spend for, you know, slightly better printers.
Yeah. So we can take that out.
You should be able to.
We should take it out because it shouldn't be in that.
You should take the $550 out of that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's okay. But I just want to figure out what number we should take out.
So
okay.
Is that something that.
That would come out of another budget.
And that would be how does you just ask. You would. I would just request it, or I'm just curious how that.
So we have to make sure that it is in our equipment line item,
equipment
in the administrative budget. So we've replaced computers every year and other hardware.
Yeah.
And so we would have to make sure that we budget for it in our budget.
Okay. Administrative equipment. All right.
So if you want to make a note to talk to Kathy about it, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Chairman, would you like a motion?
I don't think Kara's a very busy lady.
She's working on the grand one.
We only have a couple more days left.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for bringing your budget forward and explaining it.
Yeah. No problem. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. We're just getting a motion made from Pam.
Would you, Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we adjourn.
Correct. All in favor?
Aye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Try and beat you.
That's one of my most popular motions.